All right, it's Reality Daily. Why I'm coming at you. Got another pilot season for you, and that is where we watch the first episode of a new series, or I guess a new season in this case, and tell you if we think that it is a stream or a skip, a binge or a bust. And today we are talking about the first episode of the fifth season of Smothered over on the TLC, and I am joined by Joe. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to be back, and I gotta say, this one was a doozy, Wyatt.
Yeah, did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into?
I mean, I knew the premise going in. I knew it was, like, daughters and mothers having, like, extreme relationships. But what I saw, I mean, I kind of expected it, but at the same time, it was still kind of a shocker still watching it. Like, I knew what to expect, but it was still out of this world.
Yeah, it's almost like when you're driving on the road and you see, like, a car crash ahead. And, like, you know the car crash is coming, but, like, you don't necessarily know how serious it is until you get over there. That's exactly how I felt watching the show.
Yeah, it was some parts were a little less crazy, but we'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah, so for the people that are listening to this that have not watched this, because this is something that people will check out and see if it's worth watching, we have six relationships here between mother and daughter, or in one case, it's going to be a mother and a mother-in-law and a son-in-law, and they have these very tight relationships that are borderline. I shouldn't even say borderline. They definitely are a little obsessive and a little cringy at times. Now, of these six couples, two of them are alumni. They have been on other seasons. Four of them are brand new. For this first hour, we saw four of those couples, and we'll see two more duos, I guess, later on in the season. So what I would like to do, Joe, is kind of just start with the most popular pairing here, and you might have picked up on this or not, but this is a couple that I believe has been here since the beginning, and that is going to be the mother, Kathy, 64, and the daughter, Christine, 38. And the biggest thing that's going to come out of this for them is that Kathy is turning 65, and she wants a birthday at a funeral home.
Yeah, so, spoiler warning, this is my first time watching Smothered, so I had no idea there was, like, a multi-season arc with these two. So this is news to me. I thought these were all new people, like, all new people each season. So I wasn't expecting this to be a multi-season thing. But from what I've heard from this one episode, I feel like this is, like, going to be, like, the most vocal plot point.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they're the most popular, so it makes a lot of sense. They put a lot of time into it. Not sure what their previous season arcs were. I know they only live about four houses away. I think most of it was probably Christine's husband, and he kind of being a little bit weirded out by, you know, her close relationship with the mother. But this was really interesting because this is going to start out when they're going to Christine's, I believe, youngest daughter's birthday, 7 years old. And, you know, it's pretty fun. They have, like, a little, like, foam cannon, like, inflatables and everything, pizza, ice cream. Seems like a great birthday for somebody that's young. But they were going to follow this up with, like, they're party people, and Kathy's going to want a funeral home party later on this season.
Yeah. To be honest, I've heard of the idea of living funeral, but I thought that was just, like, for a one show. Have you ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with Larry David, but I can't tell you, like, specific episodes.
Okay, so there was this one episode. I think it was the season premiere. I think it was, like, 10 or 11, one of those two. Albert Brooks was guest starring, and he wanted to do something similar, like a living funeral, just to see who would show up. And then Larry tries to use the bathroom, and then he finds all this hand sanitizer and toilet paper, and the whole thing is a bust because Larry outs him as a COVID hoarder. So I just thought that it was just a wacky scenario for that show. I had no idea until I looked into it that this is a real thing people do.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's not what I would expect people to do for their birthday. I could maybe see it if somebody was, like, you know, had, like, cancer, and they were like, hey, they're only giving me 3 months to live, and I really would like to have, like, one final get-together with everybody, and this is the way that you would do it. That, to me, isn't as weird, but when we're talking about, hey, your 65th birthday, you, as far as we know, with Kathy, is in great shape, and Christine's obviously going to be a little bit worried, and it's going to come even more so when everybody is against this party except for Kathy. And Kathy's going to say in the confessional to Christine that, hey, my mom and grandmother died at 68, so I'm turning 65 and I'm just a little bit worried. Let me tell you, Joe, if I found that out, that like my mother or my father, their entire bloodline was dying at a certain age, that would be terrifying to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're cursed. Like you're kind of just telling your daughter about this curse you're having where now she's worried about making it to 68 and she's got to worry about that.
Yeah, it is absolutely a train wreck here. And obviously Christine's going to be worried that maybe there's a little bit something else about the mom, because Kathy is like at the party and she's like sleeping and they're like, oh, she never falls asleep. She never does any of this. So they're starting to get worried. And at the end, we're going to see Kathy talking to the confessionals and she's going to say, I actually got some bad news from my doctor, but I don't want to tell the girls yet. Now we see in the season preview that goes through all of the couples and all of the main storylines that not only is this going to be a big storyline, but this will come out. Kathy will tell Christine at some point during this season. And I'm interested to hear your perspective on this, Joe. I am under the impression, this is just my guess, I don't think this is going to be as big of a deal as Christine is going to think. My guess is that Kathy is going to find out that she has maybe like diabetes or something like that, where it's like, obviously that is a change in the way that you live, but it isn't like, hey, you have this like brain tumor and like you're going to have to do brain surgery or like you only have 3 months to live. I don't think it's going to be that severe. Something in diabetes is kind of where I'm aiming.
Yeah, similar to you, I have just become accustomed to like thinking, oh, they're just going to prepare us for the worst possible scenario that could happen next episode. And then it's something very minor or trivial when you actually watch it. So I'm expecting like similar diseases or like similar thing like diabetes, like you said. I don't think it's going to be anything that bad. I highly doubt if it was something like cancer, which I hope it's not. But if it was something like cancer, I really don't think they would air something that serious, I hope.
I think they would. It's obviously going to be up to Kathy, like the person that's like being filmed. But I think they would. But I don't think that Kathy, or I don't think any person with a right mind would, you know, hide this purposely from their family if they feel like their life is like literally in jeopardy, right? Because like what happens if something happens to you, right, during that time? You know, your family's going to feel terrible that they were not able to spend those last moments with you. So I do think that it's probably not going to be as big of a deal. It could also be something like maybe she was at like the dermatologist and they like took some mole that, and maybe the mole was like precancerous and they had to go and like, you know, get that operated on, and maybe it'll come back that like, hey, you know, nothing to worry about here, it was just, you know, and I'm going abnormality, and it actually turns out not to be a big thing. But that's what I'm thinking, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's not something super serious, but I do know that they are going to go through with at least the planning of this party, because I did see that Kathy like pops out of a casket at one point to demonstrate God. The party. So I'm very interested.
She's going to traumatize her grandchildren.
I want you to give me a scale from 1 to 10. How cringy is this group between Kathy and Christine? 1 being no cringe at all, and then 10 being the cringiest of them all.
I like their dynamic with like their party planners. They throw larger than life parties. That's their thing. But I'm gonna give them a 6. I don't think they're that bad compared to the other mothers and daughters I've seen. I think they were the least. The least out of hand.
Yeah, I think that I would probably give them a 3. And maybe if I knew all of their background history and we had watched their previous seasons, maybe I'd say a little bit more. But because this only focuses on Kathy and her wish to have a funeral birthday, this is not like Christine is weird. This is like Kathy might be a little bit off a rocker. And even if she does have some type of medical diagnosis, I can at least understand why she would think this. This is not like the Smothered where the group is a little bit off. This is like just one person, the mother is off. So for that reason, I had to give them a little bit of a smaller group. But maybe later on in the season, we'll think they're a little bit more cringy. But let's hop on to the other team that is a alumni. I don't think they've been on for quite long. I think they've maybe done one season, and that's all. And that's Brittany and Mary. Brittany's 23, Mary is 59. And the real story is going to be this season is that Brittany has this boyfriend, TJ. And TJ's been around for 2.5 years. He took her virginity, and Mary wants a lot of her sex-like details of Mary. And it seems like there's going to be a little bit of an issue where maybe there's a little bit of jealousy where, like, Brittany's living with Mary, and Mary may be a little bit worried that, you know, TJ is going to take her daughter away. You know, we saw that her husband had passed away, and obviously Brittany wasn't really there for her, but it seems like that's going to be kind of, like, the gist of it. What was your initial thoughts on Brittany and Mary, Joe?
It started out pretty harmless at first. Like, they were just showing clips of them doing this happy horsing, which I've never heard of. Have you ever heard of it?
It's hobby horsing. And I have heard of it, unfortunately. And basically what it is, it's like, it's equestrian, but, like, you don't have a real horse. Like, you have, like, one of those old toys that children have where it's, like, the horse's, like, stuffed head on the stick. And, like, in this case, they were jumping over things, where a lot of the times when I see it, it's like they're doing the dressage, which if you watch the Olympics is, like, where you do basically the dance routine on the horse. That's where I see a lot of that. I've never seen where you actually do the jumps yourself. But it seems like that was trying to get Brittany's ass to look a little bit better. It seems like that was a big insecurity for her. And this was, I guess, Mary's way of trying to help that get a little lift.
All right. Yeah, I've never heard of this, so... this is all news to me. But, yeah, so they didn't really start out that bad. They didn't start out that bad. And then they start mentioning TJ, the boyfriend, and Mary's like, I don't think you should keep dating him. I think they said something about how he doesn't hold a job, or I don't think he graduated or still lives with his mom or something like that. Maybe, yeah, I'm just making that up.
She's like, he's 28 and still lives with his mom, and he's been through a few jobs since I've known him. And it's like, first and foremost, your daughter's living with you. So if there's an issue, and not only is she living with you, but you, Mary, from what we know, have no desire for Brittany to leave. So, like, why are you holding this against TJ? It's a little bit of sexism, it seems.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of double standards at play here. And I'm never a big fan of that. That's
the, yeah, and then Mary's going to, like, ask for, like, intimate details about Brittany's sex life. She's going to be like, do you get on top? And Mary's defense of this is, listen, like, I'm your best friend. Your best friend is going to want the details of the sex. Like, your best friend's going to want these details so they can help you along and kind of guide you, because I'm a little bit more, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here. I guess I'm putting more words in Mary's mouth, but it does seem like she's like, hey, like, I've had more experience in this. I can help you have a more fulfilling sex life. But, like, don't look at me as your mom. Look at me as your friend, your best friend, because that's what we are as well.
Yeah, regardless of how she puts it, it's never not going to be awkward to talk about your sex life.
Definitely. And I do think that there is a lot more maybe, like, men that will talk to their dads about this kind of stuff than there is, like, moms with daughters. But I think regardless, it is a little awkward.
Yeah, I feel like this one's the slow burn of the group. Like, it starts out seemingly normal, just like, boyfriend, mother doesn't approve of the boyfriend, and it's just going to escalate from there, and who knows what's going to happen.
I did think that one of the most awkward things for this couple is that Brittany is talking very highly of her mother in the confessional. She's saying, my mom is flawless. And Mary's response is like, yeah, Brittany's like a sea worm. I'd have been like, bitch, like, shut your mouth. I'm a sea worm. I just called you fucking flawless.
I noticed that when, like, pairs do confessionals, there's always that kind of dynamic. I don't know if you caught on, like, the one person's, like, complimenting the other, and the other's just, like, straight up roasting the other. Maybe that's just me, but I feel like that's, like, a popular thing duos do in confessionals.
Yeah, definitely. And I also thought it was really weird, and I think this is probably a throwback to maybe a previous season, where Brittany's going to talk about how she's not bisexual, as she maybe suggested in a previous season. She's just bi-curious. It seems like that maybe was a storyline, because I showed a clip of her kind of coming out to her mother. And by the clip, Joe, it came off to me, and like I said, I haven't seen the episode, so I could be wrong, but it did come off to me as, like, Mary was not, like, the most receptive. So my initial reaction is, like, well, like, I hope that this idea that Brittany's saying, oh, I'm not actually bisexual. I'm just curious. I hope this wasn't like almost like a forced thing where like she felt like that her mother was not accepting. So she felt like this, she needs to hide this. In reality, that's actually how she feels.
Yeah. So again, this is my first time watching Smothered. So I had no idea this was a previous thing when she mentioned she was bisexual out of the blue. I'm like, okay, you're not just going to focus on that a little bit more. That was just like a 5-second snippet. And then you mentioned, oh, that was a previous season thing. And I don't know. It's hard for me to really explain since I haven't watched that arc. So.
Yeah, it's really reckless speculation on my part, but just the clip they showed, it did not look like that Mary was particularly very receptive. So my initial empathy like thing is like, oh, well, I just hope that like what Brittany is saying in the confessionals is how she actually feels. And it, you know, she didn't feel like she was like disappointing or something, because you know, that's where you get a little bit sad. You know, this is kind of a funny show, but that part kind of made me sad that was a possibility here. But that is going to do it for Brittany. And then now let's get into the new couple. The new mother and daughters. We've seen two of them, two of the four duos here. And the first one we're going to talk about is going to be the star of the season, I think. And that is Gabriella and Catherine. Gabriella's 23, Catherine's 56, and they dress alike all the time. And what the real main focus of this will be is it will be Catherine is a former Miss Connecticut, and if you don't know that, they will remind you every single time they cut to them. And Gabriella is trying to win. She's done a few times. I think the best she got was a fourth runner-up, which I guess is like fifth place or something like that. So it's going to be a lot of them training for this pageant is what we're going to get. Initial reactions on them.
I got to say, if you told me that moms and daughters make returning appearances, I would have guessed they were the returning mom and daughter, because I feel like that type of beauty pageant storyline, I feel like that would have been something they would have focused on in a previous season. And I just feel like with the mom and daughter and the sisters, which even the show like lampshades as the sisters, I feel like that's going to be like the most interesting dynamic of everybody shown so far.
Definitely. And like the first thing that you're going to see in this entire episode, because they're going to go to them first before they go to any of these alumni duos, is Catherine and Gabriella. They're going to walk outside and they're going to bathe together in celery juice. What the fuck, Joe?
I've never heard of this. From what I saw on the show, they mentioned something about relieving stress and something about acne. I'm not sure. But
good for your
definitely
coochie.
A stress. Oh, good
for
the coochie.
Yeah, that's what Catherine says. To me, it's like, okay, I guess like if I really want to like think critically about it, it does kind of make sense, because it's like, okay, like people drink celery juice when they like have like a protein shake or something like that. Like that's what a lot of people put in their smoothies or something to get like whatever the antioxidants they need or whatever it is. But to bathe in it is kind of crazy. To bathe in it with somebody, I mean, you're talking about your filth. Like, maybe they took a shower before they got out there. I'm going to assume that's the case. But they're drinking it in there, Joe.
Yeah, that's, like, if you just bathe in it, that's one thing. But now you're drinking in your own, like, pool of celery juice. That's weird. That's
yeah,
weird.
And the way that they break it, the way that they break it down is they're saying, listen, like, it's my innocence, like the daughter's innocence, and then the mom's wisdom, and that's like how this is being made. So like, you know, one's gonna gain wisdom, one's gonna gain innocence. I don't know. I think you might get a yeast infection if you're not careful.
Yeah, I also heard in the confessional how Gabriella never left home or went to college or went away for college, and her mom does all the chores for her, and yet she's a cosmetologist, and I'm thinking, don't you have to go to school for that?
Well, here's the thing. Is like, she probably did go to school, but like, if it's anything like my local town, Joe, you can get a cosmetology like degree from like a community college. So it's very possible that she just like didn't go away for college, but she was able to like stay and, you know, train and like at a community college, and then was able to, you know, stay at home every day with their mother.
I definitely heard her say she didn't go to college, so I'm very confused on how that turned out.
Maybe they just like they hired, maybe it's some like back end, like illegal salon. I gotta say, like, one of the things that was the most shocking about all of this is that we just randomly have two sisters out of nowhere, and they're not dressed like either one of them. I think they referred to them as like the scholars and everything. I thought that was the real like curveball of the entire episode.
The whole reason they were there was to just carry the suitcases or lug them around, and like you said, even in the confessionals, there was like pageants versus scholars, and then you cut to them and they're like, we're gonna go to the museum, you guys have fun in here, bye.
This is like big like Cinderella vibes, right? Where it's like Gabriella is supposed to be like this like very like pristine person that's supposed to be like very attractive and supposed to, you know, find the glass slipper, which in this case is going to be the Miss Connecticut sash. And then you have these two kind of like other characters that are there that are supposed to like not have the glitz and the glam and not supposed to have, you know, the beautiful dresses and everything like that. But in reality, they seem to be like really like basically us, like at home. Like they're kind of the voice of reason where they're like, yeah, we don't want to do any of that. And you said that they were carrying around the suitcases. I did love that when they went to this like private person that was designing Gabriella's like a pageantry dress and making a duplicate copy for Catherine, they just left. They said, hey, we're going to the museum. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to upstage the actual mom and daughter. And like you said, how it's like Cinderella, I feel like it's Cinderella, but inverted. Like the supposed stepsisters that are usually the mean ones, I feel like they're going to be the ones we're going to enjoy more than the actual Cinderella, quote unquote.
Yeah. And I really think that this family has a lot of potential to be a multi-season arc, because obviously the Miss Connecticut thing is going to be a big thing here. But one, she, even if she loses, it seems like she can compete again, right? So that could be like a multi-season arc by itself. If the sisters, I don't know how old they are. I'm assuming they're probably between the ages of maybe like 16 to like 20 or something like that. That'd be my guess. You know, if they have something come up that's really important to them, maybe they feel like, hey, like my mom's not paying attention to me when it's supposed to be my moment. So I think that's something that could be, I think they have a lot of potential to stay the course of this series and have multiple season arcs.
Yeah, if you were to tell me right now who I think the most entertaining, who the most entertaining segments are going to be focusing on, it's going to be Gabriella and Catherine. I feel like with their dynamic plus the possible resentment from Lauren and Sophie, who are just going to be deadpan and snarking through the whole thing, I think they're going to be the ones I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, definitely. And then we will go to the other new duo, and that is going to be Sunny, who's 36, the oldest of the daughters, other that's new, and then Eva, who's 65. And we didn't see this part come to light in the episode, but as they were showing like all of the mom and daughters, something that they're going to say at some point is they're going to ask the person that's taking their blood, can they have a little vital of each person's blood, because they want to put it into jewelry as a keepsake. And that's when I knew that this was going to get crazy.
Yeah. So I saw that like when they were doing the previews, and I thought, you know what, that's pretty crazy enough. And then you cut to them for their actual segment, and the first thing you see of them is Sunny getting a vajayshal.
Yeah, from her mother. Her pussy is just like wide open, and apparently both of these women work in the med spa industry, so they'll do, you know, things like procedures on each other that they would do for their regular work, and that includes vajayshals. They talked about anal bleaching as well was in there. And here's a hot take for you, Joe. I don't think this is weird. I don't think this is weird at all, because this is their profession. Like, these people, they're not working at like Costco and then going home and doing this to each other. This is what they're like trained to do, designed to do. And I feel like, listen, like if your, you know, father was like a urologist, like, yeah, he may check your prostate. If your mom is a gynecologist, like she may check your pussy. Like, that's just like, it's their job. So I don't find it to be completely weird. Do you disagree with me, or do you see where I'm coming from?
Oh, no. I didn't say it's like wrong. It's just like, it's when you, that's your introduction to them. Obviously that's going to turn my head. And then also, like, when we're talking, like, if that's their expertise, it's free. Like, you don't have to pay a doctor. So
that
it's
shit's
like, you know,
expensive.
What? Take advantage of it.
I definitely agree. But that doesn't mean that this couple's not going to be very odd, because after we get all of that, we're going to find out that Eva is from Iraq and they're both Muslims. And one of the reasons why they have such a great relationship compared to some of Eva's other daughters is that she's the only daughter that actually is, from what it seems, to be a devout Muslim and also will pray along with Eva. So obviously religion is something that brings people together. It does, family members. So it's understandable why they would be there. But what the real focus of this story arc for them is not going to be their religion. It is going to be Sunny's boyfriend, Scott, who's been there for a year. And unlike Mary from the Brittany duo earlier, she actually really wants Sunny to get married, to the point where she is like, he better propose now, because I'm going to propose on his behalf.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where this one goes. I doubt it's going to end up in a proposal, because just judging from all the clips of them screaming, I feel like Eva's going to scare him off for a bit, and then he's going to come back, and then everything's going to be fine. But it's also kind of just, I don't know. Have you known someone who proposes after almost a year of being in a relationship? Because I kind of think that's a little too quick.
There's definitely people that move fast. But, you know, a year, I would say, is, like, significantly, like, quicker than most. I would say maybe the average people that get engaged are probably, like, about 2 years or so, would you say?
Yeah, I think the mother, Eva, I think with her rushing the marriage, I think it's just going to make things more complicated than having it be a more natural, progressing relationship and just have it grow on its own.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, something that we're going to see in the preview is that Eva's going to be throwing drinks in Scott's face at some point. And I have to think that maybe that's going to be because it's going to come to light that Scott is maybe fucking her daughter. Yeah, that was something that Eva was saying. She's like, you shouldn't live together. You shouldn't have sex with each other. But Sonny's going to say in the confessional that they have definitely banged. And she just hopes that, you know, Eva's not going to ask her. She's trying to change the subject so it won't come up. And I have to think that if they're alluding to this in the confessional, it will come out one way or the other.
Oh, yeah. It's only a matter of time. It's going to be like a generational issue that they're going to probably discuss. And when that happens, I assume that's probably going to be what happens when Eva throws the drink in Scott's face. I feel like that's what's going to lead up to that moment.
I would say either that or maybe like Scott is like, oh, like we're not going to live with you once we get married. Like we're going to like move out. And then Eva's like, oh, no, like, you know, I'm going to lose my daughter. Like she's not going to live with me anymore. I can see that maybe being also why he would throw a drink.
I don't think that's going to be a threat to your relationship. If that's your main worry, that Sunny is going to just move to a different house and be with her boyfriend/husband, I don't see what the problem is. She's definitely going to come back and visit you with the relationship you both have. So I don't know why you're that crazy over that possibly being a threat to your relationship.
Yeah, I don't think it should be, but like, I'm not sure if the people on this show are going to act like normally, you know what I mean? I think they may act a little crazier than they should. But let's get into the two duos that we didn't get to see this episode. And the first one's going to be Skylar and Sky. Sky is 45. Skylar is 19. Sky is going to say, this is me all over again. And the first clip that we're going to see during the super preview is like the mom saying to the daughter, can I massage your booty again? So, I mean, this is worse than the vajayshul, because as far as we know, Sky is not a professional booty masseuse.
You don't know that just yet. We only got 5 minutes from them. They'll be in the next episode dominating the airtime. You never know what her profession ends up being.
It seems like Skylar is some type of artist of some sort, whether that's going to be a singer, a rapper, a dancer. I don't know. But it seems like Sky is going to be the momager. And there's going to be some discussion with, I think it was probably going to be their sisters. I don't know exactly. But they're going to say, hey, I think that maybe Skye's trying to live vicariously through Skylar's career. And that's really what you see with a lot of, like, child stars anyway. So I can definitely see that. Although I will say, the most disgusting clip in the episode is going to be during the preview, where Skye is going to pick up her daughter's underwear and says, when I smell Skylar's panties or underwear, they smell like candy. What the fuck?
Oh my god, for a brief moment, I forgot that was in the show, and now you reminded me, and I wish I forgot that was a clip, because yeah, that was just, that was what went to disturbing territory.
Even if it was like husband and wife, I would still feel cringe. That we're talking about mother-daughter. I'm really, really going crazy about it. But let's hop to the last couple here, and that is going to be Trevor and India. Now, this is interesting because not only, I believe this is the first woman-male pairing, but it's also the first time it is a mother-in-law and a son-in-law. The wife of Trevor is Delisa. And this is something that you may not know, Joe. I don't know if you've ever watched the reality show The Circle on Netflix, but Delisa and Trevor were both contestants on this. So I know a lot of people in the reality TV community were already clocking them as being cast members here.
I did not know that. So I got to ask, how do they do on The Circle?
So Delisa was on season 2, and for those of you who don't know what The Circle is a reality show on Netflix where people go into their individual apartments and they play like in a social media type game, but you can catfish. So you don't have to be yourself. You can be somebody else if you think that will get you popularity. And at the end of the day, you have to be the most popular person to be able to win. And Delisa goes in there as Trevor. She goes in it as her husband. And I can't remember exactly the reasons why, but I believe it was something to the effect of like, hey, if I go in there as a woman and I like play a flirt game, then maybe they'll suspect me to be a catfish. But if I go in there as a man and flirt, people are just going to assume that men flirt. They're not going to think of it as being like his wife. So she went in there as Trevor, flirted with like all of the women, had women like fawning over him and everything. And then she ends up winning the show. So she wins the show and wins the 100,000. Fast forward, I want to say season 4, but it could have been season 5. Trevor's going to go into The Circle, and he's going to play as Delisa's friend. So he's going to go in there and play as a woman. And I believe he is going to end up losing. I think he's going to get maybe like 6th or 7th. He is going to get quote unquote blocked, which is the key for being like evicted in Big Brother, or being like your tribe being torch being stuffed in Survivor. So he's not going to be nearly doing as well as Delisa. But Delisa is very smart, and Trevor seemed to be pretty smart as well. Part of my head, you know, they never mentioned Delisa's mother, and they never mentioned Delisa's mother's relationship with Trevor in any of these episodes. So I do wonder if there's a little bit of theatrics here, maybe to get back on TV.
I mean, that's quite a journey. You go from The Circle to this. It's hard for me to really explain right now since we saw so little of them, but I feel like it may be an interesting dynamic. It's hard to really compete though with all these other stories that are happening with the pageants and with the Kathy's diagnosis and the boyfriends. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm keeping an open mind if I move forward with this show, but I don't know. It's hard to compete with those.
We didn't get to see a whole lot from them other than Delisa being upset. I think we might have saw like India like trying to like put Q-tips in Trevor's ear, like cutting out his ears. But that is like the only thing that we've seen. And compared to some of these other couples, that's nothing, you know, compared to some of the other stuff that we've seen. But now that we've went through all of the couples, duos, families, whatever you want to call them, are you interested in continuing the show? If you were going to advise the people that are watching this, is this a stream or skip in your mind?
As someone who watched only one episode, I would say stream it, because just from what I've seen, things are going to get really crazy. Yeah. Really crazy.
I would absolutely say stream. because I'm always a big component of, like, if you like reality TV, always try to watch the other genres and see if you really like it. And TLC just has some crazy shit going on. So if you like a little bit of drama, a little bit of mess, you'll get it here. I would at least give it maybe an episode or two, maybe get to see, you know, the Skylar and Sky and the, you know, Delisa, Trevor and India groups. Let's see them come to light a little bit and then make your decision. But I definitely would give it a shot. It's definitely a show that I'm very interested in keeping up with.
Yeah, and like you said, they ended the episode with Kathy's illness or diagnosis that wasn't good, and they didn't say what it was. So now I got to know next episode, or if whatever episode they reveal that, and what the outcome is when she does tell her daughter or her family.
Yeah, reality shows, they really have such a great method in being able to kind of hook you into, like, oh, I have to know what happens on the next season. You know, the only other show that me and you have talked about that I think is even remotely similar to this in terms of the drama was, like, Below Deck, Down Under, where we watched, and they had something in the first episode where it was like, oh my goodness, I have to see how that turns out. So I think they do a great job, and TLC is, like, really fantastic at it. They did the same thing with 1,000 Pound Sisters, another show that we watched the first episode on, me and Nathan watched over. But I want to hear from you guys that are listening to this. If you liked our coverage of Smothered, let us know that you would like to hear more episodes. Me and Joe, we're kind of deciding if we're going to continue the coverage of this or if it's just going to be a one-off. So let us know. You can leave us reviews. You can message us on our social media page. That's at Reality Daily Pod. Make sure you're checking out some of the other podcasts. I mentioned that we did the first episode of 1,000 Pound Sisters. Most of what we do, though, is competition shows. We're talking about Survivor, The Amazing Race, which just wrapped up. The Challenge 39, Naveed and Jeremy have it covered. House of Villains as well. I know, Joe, you've been watching that. Fantastic show. Some of the greatest villains of all time, including Enfisa. If you're a TLC fan, you probably know Enfisa from 90 Day Fiancé and 90 Days to Single Life. She is on there, and she's been really fun as well. Like I mentioned, social media, Reality Daily Pod. Do us a favor. Share the podcast with anybody that you know that likes reality TV. Help us grow. Rate us 5 stars. It helps the algorithm. And also, if you're doing any holiday shopping, in the podcast description, we have an Amazon affiliate link. If you click on that link and shop with Amazon, a small percentage of what you purchase will come back to us, and that helps us get better equipment, better audio quality, and more extensive reality TV coverage. Your support means the world to us. But I hope to hear from all of you soon. Until next time, bye.